Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of 2 Samuel, and today we'll be finishing out chapter 13 with verses 23 to 39. 2 Samuel 13, 23 to 39. After 2 full years, Absalom had sheep shearers at Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not all go, lest we be burdensome to you." He pressed him, but he would not go, but gave him his blessing. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" But Absalom pressed him until he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Then Absalom commanded his servants, "Mark when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, 'Strike Amnon,' then kill him. Do not fear, have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." So the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. While they were on the way, news came to David, "Absalom has struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them is left." Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants who were standing by tore their garments. But Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have killed all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon alone is dead. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day he violated his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king so take it to heart as to suppose that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon alone is dead." But Absalom fled. And the young man who kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. And Jonadab said to the king, "Behold, the king's sons have come, as your servant said. So it has come about." And as soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son day after day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the spirit of the king longed to go out to Absalom because he was comforted about Amnon, since he was dead. In today's passage, we see the continuation of the story of Amnon and Absalom, and the conclusion of the events that unfolded around them. Earlier in this chapter, we're told that Amnon, in his wickedness, desired his own half-sister Tamar, and deceived her and forced himself onto her. Absalom finds out, and despite his hatred for his brother on account for what he did to his sister, he waits for 2 full years, according to our passage. Absalom waits until the scandal of Amnon's actions subsides a bit, and then he devises a plan to lure Amnon to become drunk in his presence. He holds kind of a sheep shearing party. He invites Amnon and all their brothers, and in Amnon's drunken state, Absalom commands his servants to kill him. And so came the end of Amnon. And this murder would set into motion a chain of events that would completely turn David's reign as king over on its head. It would pit son against father in a tragic battle for the throne. We'll talk about that in future devotionals. What's sad about the conclusion of this account, this story of Amnon and Absalom and Tamar, is that it really isn't surprising how things ended up. In yesterday's devotional, we discussed how this tragic tale is full of sin. Amnon sinned, Absalom sinned, and each did what they felt was right in their own eyes, but was ultimately wrong in God's. And here we see the consequences of sinful action that goes uncorrected. You see, Amnon and Absalom were both left unchecked. Amnon's crime against Tamar went unpunished by David or by Israel or by anyone else, and he goes about his life without ever being held responsible for his wickedness. Absalom, cunningly, waited 2 years in quiet planning, never telling anyone about his feelings, letting his hatred and anger grow stronger by the day and feeding into these deadly thoughts. And what becomes of Amnon and of Absalom? Amnon ends up killed by his own half-brother without even a chance to defend himself. And Absalom is suddenly cast out into this different life as his decision to murder shatters his princehood, his secure life, his relationship with his father. For us, often we allow ourselves to leave our sin unchecked and uncorrected because we convince ourselves that there aren't any consequences, or even if there are, that those consequences don't apply to us. We say, who will find out? We say, feeling these feelings won't hurt anybody. I can hide away the bad and nobody will notice. I remember when I was a kid, I had a nasty habit of stealing. It started off as small things, just a pencil from a classmate's desk or an extra candy at the hair salon. But I never got caught. And instead of realizing that I was doing something wrong, I grew bolder and bolder. When I did get caught, it wasn't a pencil or candy. It was a Nintendo DS from a neighborhood kid's backpack. And when my dad found out, boy, did he punish me accordingly and show me the consequences of my actions. You see, because I never had my sin uncovered and I left it unchecked, I grew more and more deeper into this sin. Know that sin, when unchecked, it always has an end. It always has a conclusion that is sure to come with consequences. After all, curses, like chickens, come home to roost. Now here's the good news. I'm not sure how you're doing in your battle against sin. We've been talking a lot about sin in our devotionals. It's kind of the nature of this part of 2 Samuel, so perhaps you've had some time to think about it. But whether you're doing well and continuing to grow in sanctification, or you're kind of stuck, or you're struggling and fighting what seems like a losing battle, I'm here to tell you that it's never too late to turn back. In our passage, we're given insight to David's reaction to all this mess. He laments over Amnon's death. He weeps because of the evil that occurred without his intervention. But most of all, he longed to go out to Absalom and be reunited with his son. Even after 3 years of sorrow, we're told that David's spirit still longed to see his son again, to have him come back. It doesn't say David wanted to punish Absalom or ask him why he did what he did. Instead, he simply wanted to be in relationship with his son once again. In the same way, God longs to be reunited with the sinner. Every time we sin and turn our back on our relationship with the Father, he comes running after us to take us back and to shower us with grace. That's the gospel. And I hope that today we're reminded of our Father's grace-filled love. Let's not be like Absalom and keep running and running. Let's always choose to turn back to the Lord. Let's do that today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every single morning. Every single moment, you have new grace for us. No matter how many times we fall, no matter how many times we turn away, we can always turn back to you. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. Father, I just pray on behalf of all my brothers and sisters that in the, all of our fights against our sin, that we can cling to you. I pray it's not just behavior modification, but instead we really understand what it means to lay down these temptations, to not just kind of see them as things that we can do in secret and things that have no consequences, but instead may we understand just how hurtful they are. And I pray that we abandon them and instead we turn to you. Lord, would you help us? Would you strengthen us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.